Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now it's time for our Friday gathering. This week I'm joined in the studio by Elaine Loughlin, political editor with the Irish Examiner, Ciara Keogh, Fine Gael Mayo TD, Mark Paul, UK correspondent with the Irish Times, and David Cullinan, who's Sinn Féin TD for Waterford and the party's health spokesperson. And you're all welcome. Thank you for coming in today. We're going to start with that start warning from the ESRI. It's in the front of the Irish Times today about the economy. It could shrink by 3.5%, cost of €18 billion if Donald Trump goes ahead with these EU tariffs of 25% and the EU retaliates. And the Irish Times, it puts it into context today. I mean, that would equate to double the state's housing budget. So clearly, David Cullinan, this could be absolutely catastrophic here for us in Ireland if he goes ahead on the 2nd of April. Would you agree that it changes our entire economic outlook if this happens?
Well, obviously it is a concern. It's very early days and we need to be careful in relation to how we respond to what Donald Trump does. The first point to make is that we have left ourselves in a very precarious situation in the first instance, where we are heavily reliant on multinational companies, as we know. We need them here. They generate a lot of revenues, but we've, I think, taken our eye off the ball in relation to the SME sector, the indigenous sector, and our economy and our finances are, of course, now heavily dependent on revenue from foreign direct investment. What I'm concerned about, and I think what we have to get right, is the response from the European Union.
You see, that's the key, isn't it? Because you say we have to be careful how we respond. But Ireland doesn't really have much of a say over that, do we?
We have to have a say, because if you look at the sectors which are most vulnerable, it's the medicines, pharmaceutical, whiskey, agribusiness, and any retaliation in relation to tariffs in these areas, I think, would have dire consequences for Ireland and for the Irish economy. So it's important for Ireland to assert its voice within the European Union. Obviously, there has to be a European Union-wide response to what's happening. But obviously, from Ireland's perspective, we need to make sure that the industries which are important to Ireland, which create the jobs, and it's not just in the multinational sector, it's the SME sector as well. When you look at
the
some of these
industry,
areas, the drinks industry,
example.
It's whiskey, the agricultural sector, all of these are obviously very important to the Irish economy.
Yeah, well, Mark Paul, you're based in London now, and it's just really interesting to see Keir Starmer. You know, he's very cute here about this. The aluminium and steel tariffs came in. He didn't respond.
They haven't, and it's been kind of the way that Keir Starmer has approached Donald Trump overall, softly, tiptoe around him, stroke his ego, don't get into a row with him and see where you get. But when you look at what Keir Starmer has gotten back for that, he's gotten nothing so far. I mean, they haven't gotten a carve out from the steel and aluminium tariffs. They're hoping for a US trade deal and they have talks on that. But I think all Keir Starmer has gotten from Donald Trump has been some warm words and, you know, accepting an invite from the King for a state visit. He hasn't gotten anything hard. And sometimes there are wars and arguments that you can't win. And just avoiding that war and that argument can be a victory in itself. And that might be what the European Union needs to do here. I mean, the Taoiseach in Brussels has been one of the European leaders that has been saying, look, you know, America is a much bigger economy. It can sustain a trade war for a lot longer than Europe can. So maybe we should, you know, take the British approach in a sense, not retaliate quickly and hard, and not try and get into some sort of an emotional argument with a guy who thrives on arguments. I mean, you know, he'll enjoy that. So just avoid it.
Yeah,
just avoid it and manage this guy for the next couple of years, because he won't be there forever.
But we're one of 27, Elaine. Like, and when you hear about the EU talking about the big bazooka, which they have ready to go if tariffs come in, and the big bazooka is to respond in kind. If Ireland is very much of that view that we shouldn't retaliate and we should follow the example of Keir Starmer, it's hard to see how we're heard.
Yeah, well, look, I think it's heartening to see that the EU has stalled, for now anyway, the tariffs on bourbon, because we do know that if that had come into force, we would have had those reciprocal tariffs on Irish whiskey. And that is not a like-for-like comparison, because the amount of Irish whiskey that is exported into the US is ginormous in comparison to the amount of bourbon that Europe takes in here. So that would have had a devastating consequence. Parliament. But I think it's a wider thing, and we've spoken about this probably ahead of every budget in recent years, when IFAC, the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, comes out and says, warns that the government is too reliant on corporation taxes, that there are between an 8 and 10 major companies in Ireland, that if just one of them decided to up sticks and move, that we would be in significant financial distress, essentially. And now that is a possibility if we do have those 25% tariffs coming down the line, which, you know, judging what Donald Trump said last week in the Oval Office, he's very serious and he's
very... Well, you were there, so yeah, you saw it with your own eyes.
Well, I think one thing that certainly myself and other journalists in the room took away from that 50-minute press conference with Donald Trump is he is acutely aware of Ireland and the pharmaceutical companies that have come here, the pharmaceutical sector that we have built up in recent decades. And he went as far as to suggest that we have stolen US companies from the US, and he wants to get those companies back. He said that if he had been in power and it hadn't have been other presidents, that he would have maybe imposed a 200% tariff on pharmaceutical companies and they never would have left the US. So I think that's certainly a concern, and what the government will have to do now is make sure that it supports the pharmaceutical industry in Ireland, whether that's through a ratcheting up of infrastructure, of delivery of the internet, the water, the services that they need. And housing, Claire, because to make sure that we have a sector that can draw people, that can sustain employment, we need to have all those things. Okay, we don't have them right now.
Pascal Donoghue was out this morning, and Ciara, I'll come to you on this. Ciara Keogh from Fine Gael. He's saying that we'll ramp up capital spending in key strategic areas, including the energy, the water, the transport and the housing, and that's how we'll remain competitive. But we had earlier on Kate English in from Deloitte, and she was talking about the need to invest in SMEs, in Indigenous industry. David Cullinan has said the very same thing this morning. I mean, you're coming from that background of small business. Do you think that we're reaping what we sow here now, and we're in a very dangerous moment, and we've neglected those businesses that could sustain us if the rest of it all goes wrong?
I don't think we've neglected businesses, but I will agree that, and I think everybody is speaking with one voice here when we say, you know, we're in uncharted waters. It's a very fluid and dynamic situation. You know, nobody wants tariffs. There's a bit of misinformation out there. The EU don't want tariffs. Ireland don't want tariffs. Tariffs are not good for business. They're not good for consumers. And I think one thing that I'm happy about is that we do have Pascal at the helm here. He saw us through COVID-19. He saw us through Brexit. We have quite a steady ship at the moment with our budget surplus. We have our rainy day funds. I think at the moment, you know, talk would be better than tariffs. It would be great to be able to engage with the US before the 2nd of April. They don't seem to want to do that. So what we can do is control the controllables. I know this morning Simon Harris is chairing and convening a trade forum with departments, stakeholders. We're engaging with our counterparts in the EU. But we are in a precarious situation here. From Westport, we have AbbVie there, and you know the whole town depends on it. So the one thing that we do have is looking at the fact that pharmaceuticals have been in this country for a very long time. They're not new to this country. They've decades of doing business here. They like doing business here. We've a skilled workforce, and it gives them access to, you know, 400 million customers in the EU.
David, I know you want to come in there. You want to say that you're glad Pascal's in charge as well.
The only way to win a trade war is not to be involved in one in the first place, which is an obvious point. We can't determine what the Trump administration will do. It's quite erratic actually when it comes to tariffs, because one day the tariffs are coming, the next they're not. But obviously we have to respond as best we can, but in Ireland's interest. And obviously there is the European-wide response in relation to retaliation of tariffs. But I think the more important part, and you made the point that Pascal said more investment is needed, more capital investment in infrastructure. We've been screaming at the government over the last 10 years that they haven't been investing in energy, in water infrastructure. For example, our ports are not designed at the moment to deal with offshore renewable energy. We don't invest in housing as much as we should. We'll talk about that later, I think, as well, in terms of social and affordable housing and private housing. The targets have not been met. So, of course, it's time to invest. And the best way to protect your economy is to invest in infrastructure, to support the Indigenous sector. And there's a lot more we can do for small and medium-sized businesses. So if tariffs are imposed, and they'll have an impact on all of those sectors we're talking about, there are also positive opportunities in terms of new and emerging markets as well, particularly for small and medium-sized businesses. When we talk about whiskey and rum and other other products and alcohol, but other areas as well. There are opportunities
that's
in other
medium
emerging
term,
markets.
Like that, you're not going to be able to switch that on overnight,
but
though.
The point about tariffs is that the impact on tariffs is not always immediate. It's medium to long term, and that's been recognised by all economists. You don't see an immediate consequence of tariffs being imposed. It will have consequences on companies' planning, whether they stay here, because it's not easy for a company to relocate.
Although we
it
were talking
time,
to,
but
to
what
someone
it could do
who,
is have an impact on them investing.
Back during his first term, when he announced tariffs on alcohol, we were talking to someone who had a shipment on the way over and had to come up with tens of thousands in order to get that into the United States. And that was overnight. You know, there will be implications for
there will be some
for businesses immediately.
We've been here with Brexit, so it's not new territory to us in how we respond to shocks like this. But when you have an economy that has been so over-reliant on multinational companies, and when we say that, it doesn't mean that we don't want them here. Of course we do. It's really important that the pharma sector, that the medical sciences sector, the life sciences sector thrives in Ireland. It's really important for the economy. But we also have to support indigenous industry as much as we do multinationals.
I just think sometimes we can get too lost down a rabbit hole of Donald Trump's mind. I mean, it's important to remember it's not Irish people and Irish businesses that pay tariffs. It's US consumers, right? And if inflation in the US rises and if Donald Trump comes under domestic pressure, he's the kind of guy who folds under that sort of thing. He was very clever in a lot of ways during his first presidency. He didn't get too deep into tariffs. He didn't rock the boat with the economy too much. He seems to be a little bit different in his mindset this time out. But there's no ideological bulwark behind that. There isn't a group of people behind Donald Trump who ideologically believes in tariffs. It just seems to be him. And I just wonder if it's a tactical thing instead of strategic. And if we get too, you know, thinking years down the line how to cope with tariffs, and his mind might move in a completely different direction in a few months' time, and we've changed our strategy. I mean, just deal with the fact that he may change his mind on this at any moment.
Yeah, I mean, there is the unpredictability factor, but people are reading a lot into what he said about, you know, there being short-term pain, I'm paraphrasing, for the long-term gain of what this will bring to the United States, that he seems to be prepared to sort of bear the fact that the markets are going to fall and people are going to have higher cost of living in the States.
Yeah, but I think maybe he's prepared to change his mind on it as well. I think it's in the UK, what the Keir Starmer's government really seems to be focused on is focus on what he does and not on what he says. And that seems to be their guiding light in Westminster. And they're hoping that over time, you know, if you look through all the noise and all of the smoke, and I know Elaine and others were over there in Washington and they saw how serious he was and he seemed. He may not be that serious.
Right.
Term.
Well, listen,
may not
be.
The only thing with him at the moment is there's nothing to change his mind because we've seen the stock market in the US plummet. We've seen inflation only going one way, although he's claiming that it's victory on eggs at the moment. And yet his poll ratings was a poll out of the weekend and he's doing fantastically well. So I think this message that he's putting forward, that he is putting America first and you might have to take the bit of pain in the short term, still is resonating with people in the United States. And as long as that does happen, I think, or does continue, he's going to continue in the same trajectory.
But inflation was what done for Joe Biden. And if inflation creeps up in the US again, it'll do for Donald Trump as well. He's not immune to that.
Listen, the type of actions that need to be taken now should happen anyway, regardless of what happens with Donald Trump. So I think most sensible people, most economists, if you look at even the ESRI reports, all of the studies which have come out and talked about the potential shocks that could come if there was tariffs, are making the same points that we need to invest in infrastructure anyway.
So do that
it's
regardless.
It's needed for the Irish economy.
Okay.
Exactly.
Listen, the other point that we want to talk about this morning is inflation, because we were talking to Kate English earlier about this as well. The fact that groceries are still going up. There are fears about what's going to happen to our energy bills in the coming months. The CSO says that while disposable income rose last year, it was cancelled out by inflation. Now, Micheál Martin has ruled out a cost of living package in the next budget, despite all of that. I mean, Ciara, the people you represent, I'm sure you're hearing that they are worried about inflation, and yet you're part of a government that says we're not going to do anything about it.
I think you're right, Claire. I have been listening to the people. I was canvassing in the local elections and the general elections, so I met people on the doorsteps the whole way through, and I'm acutely aware of the worry and the fear and the anxiety that's out there when people aren't able to pay their bills. But at the same time, we have to, you know, we've just been talking about the fact that we're in a turbulent kind of dynamic situation. We don't know what's coming down the line, so we must protect the economy at all costs. And we did respond when inflation was up at 8, 10, 15% with those one-off measures, and we can't continue with those one-off measures to the point where they become the norm. But I think, you know, listening to people who are getting extremely worried about what's coming down the line, we can show that in extenuating circumstances like COVID-19, with the fact that there is a budget surplus and rainy day funds, we will be able to support people, you know, should they need it. But I think we have to keep this, we have to keep the ship steady.
Despite Micheál Martin saying there won't be a cost of living package in the budget, you're saying the door could be open to that happening.
No, that's definitely not what I'm saying. I'm not putting, don't try to put words in my mouth that I'll get in trouble for. What I'm saying is we don't know what's coming down the line. 2nd of April is coming. We don't know what tariffs Trump is going to potentially impose. We don't know how Europe's going to respond. We know they're not going to respond until mid-April. We don't know how the economy will look by the time the budget is coming.
But Micheál Martin says we're not going to have a cost of living package in the budget. He's already ruled it out. You're saying, well, things might change and that might not be the case come October.
I'm saying that we'll have to respond to things as they happen. If there's, you know, a catastrophic effect given the tariffs coming in, will we have to look at supporting some of the indigenous sectors? Will we, you know, we
so targeted supports, you're saying?
So I'm not the Minister for Finance. Yeah. I won't speak for him. But what I'm saying is we have a track record of supporting people when, you know, things go horribly wrong. But at the moment, inflation has come down. I know prices haven't come down, but it's important that we keep the economy steady.
David?
Well, the CSO report that was published this week shows that there's just under 12% of people who are at risk of poverty. And it actually says that if you strip away those one-off measures that were put in place, that the cost of living measures, that would increase to 14 or 15%. So if we make that conscious decision, or if the government makes it, it's a case of putting more people into poverty. And if you go back to the election campaign, both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael talked about €10 a day childcare. They talked about affordable housing. They talked about reducing the cost of electricity. What we now hear from them, despite the fact that we know from reports which were given to government that electricity prices will increase for the next 3 years, that will put more pressure on families who are already under pressure.
But is now the time, David, to splash the cash? Like, we've only just been talking about what might be coming down the tracks.
It's not about splashing the cash. It's about making sure that families are properly supported. So I don't believe that investing in childcare to allow people actually to go to work is splashing the cash. It's a smart investment. I don't believe that giving people some support with household bills, which are crippling some families at the moment. And in fact, the facts speak for themselves. It's not my figures, it's the CSO figures, which say that if these transfers of support from government and from the state and all of those cost of living measures come to an end, more people will live in poverty.
Kira,
that's not
to,
the type of country want I want to live
in. Yeah, I just want to talk about a bit of sustainability. You were talking earlier, David, about, you know, infrastructure and moving away from one-off measures, looking at the likes of retrofitting, where we gave 230 million last year, you know, increasing, you know, the energy efficiency of people's homes will decrease the bills. We look at childcare, we're talking about capping, you know, childcare 200 per month. They're not one-off measures, they're sustainable measures. And I think that's the key here, is looking at sustainability and steadying the ship.
But they're not sustainable, actually, because there is no talk about getting to that €200 a month childcare. That was a promise that was made that hasn't materialised. What we're now hearing from the government is that a lot of those measures that they talked about in the election campaign will now not happen.
That's and not we true. Predict, we're we only 100 and well, something days into government.
You were asked a few minutes ago and you said that, well, I can't talk about what cost of living measures could be put in place because I don't know. So you can't have it every way. The reality is that both the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach and the Minister for Finance have made it very clear that the type of cost of living supports that were previously in place will now not be in place, despite all of the evidence showing that costs are increasing, more families are at risk of poverty and more families are going to struggle. Okay. And the facts have been laid out by the CSO that you will increase poverty if you withdraw those supports.
Quick response from
Kira
and then
withdraw them anyway.
I'm talking about sustainable measures. They have not said that they're going to roll back on €200 per month for childcare. The government is only in place since 100 and something days. Give them a chance to get the strategies in place to get moving on this. We're not rolling back on €200 per month childcare. We're not rolling back on sustainable measures. What we are saying is the one-off measures that were given over when inflation was very high cannot be continued.
Mark, you wanted to come in there.
Well, I was just going to say, just kind of as an observation, as a piece of commentary, it's interesting to see the difference in attitude in this between Ireland and in Britain, obviously, where I spend most of my time. I mean, there is much more anxiety over this in Britain because they have no room to play with. They're actually, they spent last week debating making £5 billion worth of benefit cuts.
Yeah.
And you know, people are talking about the €50 steak. What's that, 40-odd pound? I mean, that's a normal steak in London. And if you go outside of London, you see pockets of deprivation in parts of England. I just don't think you see that kind of deprivation in Ireland. I mean, I'm sure in your constituency and in your constituency care as well, I'm sure there are, you know, look, there is a lot of people in Ireland who aren't having a great time. But I just think sometimes we lose sight in this country that even if things get bad, even if a cost of living package is required, Ireland has the capacity to implement it. In Britain, they're terrified that if the worst comes over the hill, they have nothing to fire at it.
No buffer zone.
They have nothing left. And they're running on empty. They're running on fumes over there. And they've pitched everything on economic growth. And that's why they're so obsequious to Donald Trump, because they think they need a US trade deal to get that going. So just sometimes it's not as bad here as it seems. It's just, it's not always as bad as it seems.
Well, I would imagine that there's...
It's important to note, and Mark is right, we do have that cushion here. How do we have that cushion? It's through corporation taxes. And I think where we might really need a cost of living packages, if one of those companies or two of those companies were, like we previously discussed, were to come under pressure from those tariffs and decide to up sticks, and then we wouldn't have that cushion for a cost of living. So you could see yourself in a very kind of a vicious cycle of needing cost of living measures to support mm-hmm. people and not actually having that cushion. Now, we do have that rainy day fund. But Mark has well mentioned, I think it's important, or it was an important point to make about the Democrats and how they lost the election on inflation. And I think government parties and opposition here should be very, very much aware of that, because I was over in the States, as you mentioned, Claire, where it is $7 now for your cup of coffee in the morning. And that is €7 essentially when you take the exchange rate. If you want to add a croissant to it, you're talking $15. And people were going into Trader Joe's or their local supermarket and were seeing mm-hmm. that they didn't have that money to spend. And like even middle income families, it was found they were $50 to $100 short every month.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you had the Democrats coming out with Beyonce and all these star-studded Hollywood actors.
Talk about misreading the room.
Yeah, while Donald Trump was talking about inflation, was talking about putting money back in people's pockets.
And the price
of
eggs.
Just come back to a point that Mark made. There are people doing well in Ireland, there's no doubt about it. But there are also people who are genuinely struggling. And to tell people then that we're all doing well, there are people who are not doing as well as others. There are genuinely, we all deal with them in our constituency.
But I think Mark's point, not to put words about it, it's the levels of deprivation are just different in the UK.
They are different, right? But we still have higher levels of deprivation than other European countries. If you're one of those people who can't afford to pay the electricity bill, you can't afford the childcare costs, you can't afford the rent or the mortgage, you are making very difficult choices on a daily basis. Mm. That's their lived reality. They need supports now. So the CSO data isn't my data, and that data is showing that the levels of poverty has increased over the last
in the last few minutes. I do want to talk about housing, because the central bank said fewer homes will be built over the next 2 years than even it had earlier forecast. And Elaine, to come back to your time in the Oval Office, the question you asked Donald Trump, it reverberated around the Dáil during leaders' questions this week. Mary Lou MacDonald accusing the Taoiseach of sniggering about the housing crisis. How did you see it? You were there.
Yeah, well, look, he certainly did smile and nod and agreed with the president initially, when the president said basically we're a victim of our own success, and the reason why we don't have enough houses is we can't keep up with demand, which is an interesting take, I think, for anyone in rental accommodation looking to get a mortgage, or anyone in emergency accommodation here. The Taoiseach did then come back. He was asked what the biggest challenges are in Ireland, or what he would like to achieve, and he did say housing is the biggest issue for him. So I think he maybe circled back and gained a bit more ground after that.
Okay, well, David, Mary Lou MacDonald accusing the Taoiseach of sniggering about the housing crisis. Is that fair, do you think?
Well, I think it is, but it's worse than that. It's misleading the public in relation to the housing targets, and that was the bigger problem. As we know, there was a report that was sent to government in advance of the election, in weeks in advance of the election, that made it very clear that the 40,000 figure simply would not be met and hasn't been met. And the government went out, Taoiseach, Tánaiste, government ministers time and again to say that that target would be met. Why was it not met? It wasn't the private sector, it was the social and affordable housing targets, which again will not be met. It's going to be about 3,000 less than what it should have been. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to those who need it. We're talking about a cost of living crisis. People need affordable homes, not homes at 400,000 or 500,000 euro
and that,
a year.
You know, and that, based on targets, might be a fair accusation to make. But to grab headlines accusing Micheál Martin of sniggering in the Oval Office at the housing crisis, do you think that that was fair?
Well, I think if you were somebody who was a victim of the housing crisis and you were watching that, I don't think you would have been pleased. I think you would have seen it differently to how maybe Micheál Martin has seen it. My view is that the bigger issue for me is I want to see supply increased. I want to see more social and affordable homes. I want to see more ambition ambition. And in fact, I want the bureaucracy to end, that dead hand of the Department of Public Expenditure, the Department of Housing. We have to devolve more responsibility for housing.
I've limited time. I'd like Ciara to respond.
I just want to respond there. The housing crisis is the greatest challenge that we're facing, and everybody is in agreement on that. And I don't think it was fair of Sinn Féin to clip what was 3 seconds where maybe Micheál Martin uncomfortably or nervously laughed along with what was an awkward comment. He absolutely robustly came back very quickly afterwards to acknowledge that the housing crisis is our biggest, you know, challenge. It's the one that we have to solve and that we need to build more houses and quicker. Okay. And I think Sinn Féin are looking for clickbait on social media.
I am out of time.
What people want is more housing. They're not interested.
All right, listen, I've got to leave it there. Thank you so much. We have a quick break to take before the news.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.